This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go! Let's go! Yeah!
You're listening to the best of the Patriots.
Oh, yeah!
A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Curran yesterday on a Tommy Tuesday with Jones and Keith. If you missed any of it, Odyssey app. Curran had a lot of interesting stuff, like unprompted interesting stuff yesterday.
Yeah, he really did.
He's trading Ramondre Stevenson and Godchow, and even wondering out loud about trading Christian Barmore.
I was not prepared for that.
Me neither.
The Patriots don't have a lot of players. Ramondre Stevenson is a very flawed player, but he also has shown flashes of being pretty good, right? And they just signed him.
Yeah.
And I was not expecting that. I'm like, yeah, you could add a running back. And you and me are in favor of that. You're like, look at these teams that have a couple running backs. Look at what the Lions did and everything else. And he's like, you could trade Stevenson. I'm like, you could? Like, all right, go ahead.
I thought you were supposed to add players, but I guess now we're subtracting players.
And also, he was adamant. He said this now with us twice, that last season, Ezekiel Elliott was better than Stevenson, and this season, Gibson was better. Now, they're both kind of like
he said it the entire offseason the year prior, too. So he is down on Stevenson.
Yeah, he is.
And it makes me wonder, Keith, if some of this other stuff we've heard, and I don't remember if it was Bedard or Breer, but we've heard this before where it's like changes could be coming with Vrabel here. I don't think they were happy, obviously, with their locker room. I don't think they were happy with some of the guys they re-signed last year, their leadership. And they shouldn't be. I mean, Jelani Tavai, the face of it last year, he got a new contract. He's blaming the fans. And, you know, I don't think they're happy with that. And maybe Stevenson and Godchow and even Barmore are part of the problem. So maybe that's some of what he's hearing. If I'm trying to piece that together and speak for Tom, he didn't say that.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm trying to piece that together, I'm wondering if that's what's going on. He also just volunteered. That was the tail end of our interview yesterday. He's just like, oh, by the way, Davante Adams, $265 million.
Yeah.
Ironed out with Josh McDaniels. Huh.
I was like, okay.
Things that make you say,
I like that.
So that gave us the idea, Keith.
Yeah, it did.
With T. Higgins, it sounds like at least going to get franchise tagged by the Bengals, but potentially still available. There's updates on the wide receiver market as well, which we can get into, but this gave us the idea for a jumping off point.
That's right.
Of our top five wide receiver targets for the New England Patriots this offseason. Why don't you give me your list, Keith? I believe we have a graphic for this on Twitch
as well. Do we have a graphic?
I think so. Twitch.tv.
/BostonWEEI
if you want to watch along there. Terp has put together a nice graphic. So who are your top five wide receivers?
All right, let me go 1 to 5. I'll go 1 to 5 rather than 5. I don't think this is one that you need to build the suspense. So let me go 1 to 5. I'm actually going to kickflip off of what Tom Curran said yesterday and say Davante Adams. So if he ends up just
number
getting
one.
Cut. Yeah. So if he ends up just getting cut, I still think he has enough left in the tank. I thought he was just going to follow Aaron Rodgers, but maybe he says, you know what? That didn't really work out all that well for me. And the last couple of years have been sort of lost seasons. Maybe McDaniels can smooth it over with him. And also just the guaranteed money is going to be the key to the whole thing. And maybe he sees Drake Bay and says, all right, that is a guy I can work with. Do I want to go with 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers? Or do I want to go with 24-year-old Drake May, be the number one on that team, you know, have a conversation with Mike Vrabel and sort of see where that goes? Plus, in this scenario, it would be just be money. So that's also why he's at the top of my list, because we think he's going to get released.
No compensation.
Yeah. So it's not. Number two is Cooper Kupp. You know how I feel about Cooper Kupp? He would be a late-round pick. Now, maybe they just cut him, right, at some point, too.
Exact that Florio wrote, not to interrupt, but Florio wrote about this yesterday. He's like, are the Rams even going to find a trade partner, or is he just going to get released? Yeah.
So maybe add him to the list like Devontae Adams, where he's just out there and it's just going to cost money. He'd another guy that might be a little bit of a tough sell, because he might just want to go to a winner. He might just want to go play for Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar or whatever else. But if you could convince him, sweeten it, he'd be the perfect. I think both Adams and Kupp would be what the room needs as well, because the Patriots wide receivers are very similar to a lot of the Red Sox players right now. Like, they just need a guy that is a real professional. Number three is Chris Godwin.
The Twitch chat disagrees with you on Adams being a professional, but let's circle back to that.
I think he is.
Number three is Chris Godwin.
Number three is going to be Chris Godwin, probably the best free agent right now. We're still waiting for Adams to get cut. We're waiting to see if Cooper Kupp gets released as well. T. Higgins, we know that with the franchise tag. So these are all guys that it's just money and a sales pitch. You don't need to give up. You can still keep all your draft picks to this point. So I have Chris Godwin number three. The next two guys is where draft picks come into play and money. So you're going to have to trade a pretty high draft pick and then spend a lot of money on these guys. It'd be DK Metcalf at four and T. Higgins, who originally was number one on my list. Because now you have to sacrifice draft picks and pay him the money, he slides down to five. So Metcalf and Higgins are the two guys that are still squarely in their primes. Yet, you would have to give up a lot more for him, and that's why I kind of valued the three veteran guys over him.
Okay, so again, you can watch along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Keefe's top five receivers for the Patriots: Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, Chris Godwin, DK Metcalf, T. Higgins. Real quick, the update on Chris Godwin that came out last night, I'm reading from Greg Ullman in Tampa. Godwin's current contract was due to void, triggering an $18 million dead money against the Bucs cap. The two sides agreed to move that void date to the final day of the league year, which is March 14th. That buys them time to work out a new deal and keep some 2025 cap savings. So,
oh, there's the graphic now.
Oh, that looks good.
Beautiful font.
Great work, Terp.
Really pops. Thank you, Terp.
So Chris Godwin may not make it to market, but right now technically available. T. Higgins sounds like he's going to get franchise tagged by the Bengals. Some call it T-tagged.
No,
he's going to be franchise tagged by the Bengals, and maybe he stays in Cincinnati and signs a long-term deal, or he's back on the franchise tag, or maybe they're tagging him to trade him. We'll see, but that's Keith's list.
How different is your list?
Well, I'll give it to you in a second. The Twitch chat real quick was pushing back on Adams as a good teammate. They were calling him a douche.
Why is he a douche? Based on what?
I would imagine the way the Raiders handled things.
I got to get the f*** out of here before I lose my f***ing life. I've never been hit this many f***ing times in my career.
Dude, he had Jimmy Garoppolo throwing him the ball. Okay, how do you want him to act?
But so, like, I don't know, like, celebrating McDaniels getting fired would be one. I think the other thing...
I don't know if he was as crazy about it, because he actually thanked McDaniels and Ziegler on his way out the door.
You brought that up.
He did thank those guys.
So maybe the situation there isn't that bad.
I think it was a horrible team.
What about last year, though? Like, I mean, he basically shut it down before he got traded. I mean, that could be part of the...
Yeah, it's a risk, I guess, you really don't run, but Okay. I think the talent speaks for itself. I don't look at him as... I don't know. I guess you want to point out to was he showing up Garoppolo, or is he just kind of mic'd up and he was annoyed? They are wide receivers. Like, I don't think any one of these guys is going to be like, everything's great, don't worry about getting me the ball. Like, I want them to be pretty fired up. Like, do you think reading a book on the sideline is bad? Or, like, I'd take that guy too.
No, I would.
I don't think it's anything to get too worried about. Now, maybe Cooper Kupp, if you want to say, has more value to the younger player than Devontae Adams. That's fine. I'll subscribe to that. I think they both have something left in the tank, though.
No A.J. Brown on your list. That dream is dead?
Dream's dead.
Okay.
You win a Super Bowl, and you dump the Gatorade on your coach and you're hugging him,
it's all sorted out.
Sadly, dead.
I noticed, and I want to circle back to this player as well, no Travis Hunter on your list either.
Nope.
But let's get to my top five here. Turb, if you get the graphic up on Twitch. I'm starting with DK Metcalf. He's been my long-term number one target, even when I thought T. Higgins was available. I know he's a number one, and I know there's draft pick compensation attached to him. You might even have to give him a new contract on top of it. I know he's a number one, DK Metcalf at the top of my list. Number two, Davante Adams.
How about that?
When he gets bought out, because he's going to get bought out, released in New York, it's just money, no draft pick compensation. I think there's a ton left in the tank. And I, like you, I'm willing to roll the dice on even a questionable character in the room, if he even is, if I'm granting you that. I'm willing to roll the dice on talent at that position. Number three, Cooper Kupp. I think he's an ideal fit for the McDaniel system, as we've discussed. You need a slot receiver to make it go. I think Kupp has enough left in the tank. That's my big question with him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give him the money to come here, especially if he gets released by the Rams and you don't even have to trade for him, I'd have him ahead of this next guy, Deebo Samuel, who... maybe the Niners cut him. I think you're definitely going to have to trade for him. It's a late-round pick. He's younger than Kupp. I like his game. Maybe he's aging poorly. Maybe he was hurt last year.
Yeah.
You got to treat him like a running back. He's not a receiver. So that age 30 barrier is a big one for Deebo. The way he lines up in the backfield, the hits that he takes, he's going to age like a running back, not a receiver. So it's scary, but I'm in. And my favorite receiver in the draft, is Luther Burden III out of Missouri. I don't think Travis Hunter is a full-time receiver. I think he's a corner first. I don't love McMillan. I don't tend to love the just pure jump ball outside receiver guy. I do think Metcalf is more than that, but Metcalf is in that vein.
Yeah.
But he's established in the NFL. I know what he is. I don't love the outside jump ball receiver guy. Maybe he's Mike Evans.
Like a Randy Moss.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's Randy Moss, maybe he's Mike Evans, or maybe he's some of these other big guys who you look at their frame, you're like, that should translate, and they can't get open.
Yep.
They can't create separation. I don't want to roll the dice there. So Luther Burden had a bad year last year at Mizzou. Different quarterback, different system. The targets dropped off.
How high would you pick him?
So,
not four overall.
No. So this would be a situation, I should have said this, good point. This would be a situation where... maybe you move down, you acquire extra picks, you move back up late in the first round somewhere in the 20s, and you go get him. It would be that thing. You're definitely not taking him at four, and you're not even taking him, I don't think, in a trade-down situation to like 10 or 12. This would be a pick in the 20s, but I like Luther Burden out of Missouri quite a bit. Travis Hunter, not on your list.
No, not on my list. I think Travis Hunter, like you said, might play more corner. I would still play him a lot at receiver, and I would absolutely take him, and I think to make it, the transition easier for him and to also make sure that he doesn't have to play every single rep, you got to get one of those guys out of my list and him. So I'd still take him. I still like him. If he's there at four, I'm drafting him, but I don't want to be like all set at receiver now. It's like, well, that first of all, the guy might play more corner. And if you have him playing alongside Davante Adams or even Cooper Kupp, like now I think you're kind of cooking with gas. So I do still want Hunter.
So I bring up Hunter because number one, I know you're probably higher on him as a receiver than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then Phil Perry wrote about this as well for NBC Sports Boston, the idea or the case for the Patriots to move up to take Travis Hunter. And he had a detail in there that opened my eyes a little bit. I've been talking about go get Abdul Carter at one. This is a bad draft. You have a ton of cash in free agency, but it's a bad free agent class, especially if Higgins and Godwin and even Trey Smith are going back to their teams. Like, there's really not a ton out there in free agency. So this is a year to be aggressive and move up in the draft.
All right.
Phil had a note, and maybe you don't have to go to one to get him. Maybe Cam Ward goes one. Maybe the quarterbacks go 1-2.
It's fluid. The situation's fluid right now.
But if you move to one, Keith,
yeah,
using the old Jimmy Johnson draft day chart.
Dude, this is why I had like a heart attack when they won their game week 18. This was so big. We can't talk about this enough.
The difference of pick 4 and 1 is 1,200 points on the old Jimmy Johnson draft day chart, which Phil acknowledges is old but still in use.
Okay.
He says that would require the Patriots giving up this year's second rounder, which is 38, something
pretty,
like that.
Pretty high, yeah.
This year's second rounder and a 2026 first rounder just to give themselves a 3-pick bump.
So 2 ones and a 2, a high 2.
Well, 2 ones. I mean, the swap this year.
You get one back. This is always an argument everybody has.
Yeah.
It's like, well, so you're giving up 2. We're getting ones. Yeah, but you're giving up 2.
You move up 3 spots from 4 to 1. You would give up next year's first rounder and this year's second. That's too steep for
a guy. So I can't do it.
For even for Abdul Carter.
I can't do it for either one.
But yeah, that's too steep. Maybe you move from 4 to 3.
Yeah,
on that trade chart. But if that's what it takes, next year's first and this year's second, then you can't move up.
Can't do it. You have way too many needs. So I think the scenario for me, and we still have 2 months until the draft, but it is if Hunter or Carter are there at 4, I do it. If they're both gone somehow, then I'm calling Cleveland trying to get Myles Garrett for 4, which is another thing Curran was in on a couple of weeks ago, and I was like a little hesitant to it. But if the two guys that I really like are gone, then I would do that. Then I would go establish player, see if I can really cash in. And then at that point, you might have to then trade down. The idea of staying on the board at 4 and drafting somebody other than Carter or Hunter, I don't like at all. And so even if it is best Haas available, give me best Haas available a little bit later with another pick. And maybe somebody trades up for Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward at that point.
Florio floated this idea. I brought it up to Mego. She made a great point about it.
Okay.
But the idea that maybe the way to get Myles Garrett, the Browns would want to include Deshaun Watson's contract. Now, the Patriots have tons of cap space. You could probably turn around and release the guy. I don't know what the dead money would be, but the Patriots have tons of cap space to do that. You get Myles Garrett and Deshaun Watson. That would be a way to keep your fourth pick. Mego said to me, can Kraft bring on a guy like Deshaun Watson?
Well,
that I had not even considered it that far. That's a good point.
It'd be a tough day, but then once you move on from, the memes would make themselves, but then once you move on from that maybe distance yourself.
That might be a deal breaker for Kraft, which I hadn't considered, because initially I'm like, man, you got all this cap space.
Yeah.
Use it on him to get Garrett and keep the, what if you get.
And then trade for Justin Tucker.
What if you get Garrett and a player at 4? Like, now you're really talking like that. All of a sudden, that's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, if Deshaun Watson is the means to do it, I don't think Kraft wants to go there.
According to this, it would be a $172 million dead cap hit.
If you release him.
Yes.
So that's a guy you'd have to keep on your roster.
So unlikely to be released.
I would say you're not. But that's even worse, because I'm like, well, maybe Kraft could bring him in and then cut him. $172 million dead cap.
No, as good as Myles Garrett is, I still don't know if any team is going to be like, yeah, we'll take that on. Like, that's not like the Brock Osweiler deal. Like, that was a bad deal, but this is insane.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Another text here, and this is criticizing my Deebo Samuel move. Have you guys watched Deebo the last 2 years? He's cashed.
He's cashed? I don't think so.
So I do.
He looked pretty good against the Pats.
I wonder if he's cashed. I don't think he did much in that Pats game.
Wait, who had the big touchdown? I thought he did.
Oh, is that maybe? So is that? But is that all he did? Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, maybe.
Did he have did he have a touchdown, or did he just have a long catch?
Dude, he had 10 for 129 and one.
Yeah, so that's more than I thought.
That's
quite a bit.
The best game ever.
Did it all come on the catch?
He had a 56-yard catch, a lot of it.
All right, so
he still had 10 catches.
Better game than I thought. Wait, he had 10 catches in the Pats game last year?
Yeah, remember Geno Smith, carved him up, and then they...
No, you're talking about Metcalf. Deebo.
Oh, I was talking about Metcalf.
Yeah.
I was talking about Metcalf.
I was like, wait a minute. I was like, Deebo had 10 catches?
Game of the season.
Yeah.
Wait, did you say we seen... I thought... Okay, maybe you read the tweet wrong. Did he say, did you see DK last year?
I thought I said Deebo.
I thought I said Deebo.
All right, I'm getting them all confused. No, Deebo might be cashed.
I was going to say, I wonder. I think that's what you surprised
me. All right,
that's
on me. I'll take a
laugh. Yeah. So Deebo might be cashed. The texture is wrong. 2 years ago, Deebo was awesome.
Yeah.
Last year, Deebo looked cashed. That was my only point.
But what about DK Metcalf?
Not cashed.
Let's talk about him.
I was like, Deebo had 10 catches. I was like, what the hell? I didn't think he had 10 catches in a game last year. 617-779-7937. Here's a good name, too. Neither of us mentioned. Could be had on the trade market. Christian Kirk. Any interest there?
He's better than I give him credit for, because when the Jaguars signed him, you thought they overpaid him, but he's pretty productive. Yeah, he wouldn't crack my top 5, but add him to the list.
Another potential name out there.
You can't get shut out, because between our two lists, there's 7 or 8 guys. There's another couple that we didn't include on our list. Like, you got to get somebody to add to the mix.
I thought about putting George Pickens on my list, too. I don't know if he's truly available. It just feels like he's a headache in Pittsburgh, and they might want to move on.
So two guys that might cost you a lot, but I'd be interested in, George Pickens and Garrett Wilson.
Oh, Garrett Wilson's a great one.
But I don't know if they're going anywhere.
Well,
so that's why I didn't put them on my list. But if they're available, you got to pick up the stick.
And let's say Garrett Wilson is available. Are the Jets trading him to you? I think teams always should do that. Mm-hmm. And why would you be worried about the New England Patriots? But now he's in your division and he's with Drake May. I could see the Jets not wanting to trade him specifically to you. 617-779-7937. Bob's in New Hampshire. Bob, hello. Yeah. Waiting patiently on Rafael Devers. Wow.
Yeah, I got a question for you. Actually, it's just an idea. I don't know if you guys have discussed it or not, but I think that the Red Sox spent a lot of money on Rafael Devers, and with the attitude that he has about not wanting to leave third, what are the options of possibly trading him for like Vlad Guerrero Jr.?
Definitely talked about that. What do you think the likelihood
is? May I say a question?
Yeah.
A severance cut there. May I say a question?
Very ominous line.
What's going on with Miss Wang?
Good question.
Who's to say? Could they trade him straight up? I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't trade Rafael Devers right now just because he was adamant that he wants to play third base.
Yesterday, I was speculating about it more, especially because he's the one who said, oh, boy, I hadn't thought about being traded before. But now you have a new trade candidate after Tristan Casas opened his mouth yesterday.
I'd rather trade
power rankings. I'm trading Casas
way before Devers.
Then Devers.
Yeah.
Tim's in Nashua. Hello, Tim.
Boys, every expert saying this draft is lacking in blue chip talent. Don't you trade that fourth pick, get all the collateral you can, and make sure that you nail down a veteran offensive lineman. Is that the way to go, or you guys hate that?
No, I don't hate that. I mean, if you get like Ronnie Stanley, that's different.
That's what I was going to say. But why do you have to trade? Like, why are those two tied together in his mind? Like, if I'm,
I mean, you have so much you need to add. I guess it how you do it. I don't care. Right? Like, I mean, I have my priorities, but or how I would, I guess, do it. But if Vrabel and Cowden and Wolf say, hey, we're going to, you know, sign a couple of starters in free agency or make a trade versus draft one really high or whatever else, like, okay, you just need to show up to camp with at least two new offensive linemen, at least two new wide receivers, and a bunch of defensive players.
So, and maybe this is what he was saying. You know, Daniel Jeremiah came out with his mock draft 2.0 yesterday. It's a mock draft I follow closely.
Yeah.
He has the Patriots taking Will Campbell at 4.
The
tackle out of LSU or offensive lineman out of LSU.
I mean, I wouldn't lose my mind, but that's not ideal.
He said right there, he's like, maybe value-wise, this is a bit of a reach, but the Patriots need help on their O-line, was the point he made. So if you sign Ronnie Stanley, you traded down a few spots, you take Will Campbell 6, 7, 8, something like that.
I like that a lot more.
Well, and also, now, if you're signing Stanley, that's your left tackle. Will Campbell could be a left guard in that scenario.
Or you can even play him at right tackle.
Well, you can play him at right tackle, or just Ronnie Stanley's not young. He's injury-prone. Maybe now you have the opportunity to kick him outside at some point on the left side. Like, there's more to work with there, so maybe that's what the caller was driving at. But I don't know why you have to sign the veteran alignment and trade back. I think you can do those independent of one another.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That was Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow, Super Bowl week, talking up the idea that the Bengals probably can keep everybody if they really want to. He wants to keep T. Higgins. He wants Jamar Chase to be happy, maybe Trey Hendrickson on the defensive side of the ball. And then we get word today that he may have been prescient in his knowledge of the cap, because the cap is going up to between $277.5 million and $281.5 million. You okay over there, Ted? Because Ted's getting choked up because the cap is so high. I'm telling you, he's like, if I had played in this era, I would have made...
You know what's funny? You know what's funny you say that? My agent, I signed a nice little deal, and I think it was 1999. My agent says, boy, you know, you were born at the right time. So You know, every guy that comes after his agent says the same thing to him.
Right.
So the money back in 1999 was significantly better than it was in 1989. And I do want to tell you, the growth has gone in. It's what is the nitrous that you put in a car?
Yeah.
It's like from the time I retired to now.
Oh, yeah.
When I retired, anybody want to take a guess what the cap was when I retired in 2005?
75 million.
103.
It's between the two. It was 85 million. And now it's 200.
$280 million. For a 53-man roster. Holy I was running these numbers in my head. 53-man roster.
It was a 53-man roster back in 2005, too.
But you could average north of 5 million. I know you don't because quarterbacks get 60 million in receivers, but if you wanted to, you could pay every player more than $5 or $6 million a year.
Yes,
and get the full cap. Like it's amazing to me, but it's also why it's harder and harder to sit back like the Patriots and have $130 million in cap space and be like, "All right, all the great players, come on over, hit the open market, so we can pay you."
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, most teams, if they have good players, they have the ability to re-sign their players. You know, the cap hell of the old days where you dream of some team, oh, one bad deal screws it. It just doesn't really happen that much anymore. You don't see teams really getting in cap hell having to lose great players. So T. Higgins could go back to the Bengals and they can keep Ja'Marr Chase and have Joe Burrow throw to him. So that is why we as analysts from afar, as we fixate on the Patriots wide receiver position here on WEEI Afternoons, they need wide receivers. We just said it. Maybe these guys that they have can get better if they bring in a number one receiver. But there's no number one receivers in free agency, so how do you get number one receiver? Well, you're going to have to either trade or maybe Cooper Kupp gets cut and he hits free agency, whatever. So if I just asked you guys, who is your top realistic target? So a name that is at least being bandied about. We know Cooper Kupp is available, so he's flat out on the list. Christian Kirk's a guy that a lot of people think could get cut. There's others, the DK Metcalfs. Debo Samuel wants a trade. Another name I'm throwing out there, because I've been throwing it out there for a while, and I've now seen it actually included on lists by legitimate journalists. Not that I'm not legitimate. I'm just saying legitimate journalists have joined the parade. Garrett Wilson. And I know he's in the division, and it's probably hard to pull that off. Davante Adams is on the list. So, Ted, I'll give you first dibs here. Who's your dream to bring credibility, production, leadership, whatever, to the wide receiver position?
Of all the names you mentioned, and this name has been brought up before this offseason, and I was proposed this question, I think it was on Early Edition about a month ago, and it's my favorite. Of all the names you mentioned, there's one name that stands above all the other ones. And I know what you guys, your rebuttals are going to be. So I'm not sure I'll be ready for them, but I know
it'll
be
crazy, Ted.
If you know what our rebuttals are, you should be ready for
them. Well, I don't have the best answer for it, but, and that's one. Okay. Of all the names you mentioned, let me put it this way. It's the old teacher in me. Of all the names you mentioned, which one do you think complements a offense that wants to be weaponized? An offense where it complements what the athleticism you have at the quarterback position.
In theory?
In theory.
Debo Samuel.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. In execution, he needs to get on Awaken 180 and get back to being Debo.
So it's, look.
He's fat.
That wasn't the rebuttal.
He's hefty.
Does he get injured a lot?
He's fat? Well, I think he gets injured a lot because he's fat.
Okay, that's fair.
I think sometimes those go
hand in hand.
I think
it's the way he plays. Andy, he like runs into traffic headlong.
He is a part-time running back, but that's what Ted is sort of talking about. He's a weapon more than he is a pure wide receiver. Right?
Correct.
He's a pawn, a piece on the board.
Where you get the ball to him fast, and then he goes and makes.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you need for a quarterback that doesn't have a very good offensive line is, can we just get the ball out fast? You know, all these quarterbacks, the horizontal game is so much more prominent now in the college, and so it translates into the NFL. And if you have a bad offensive line like the Patriots do, then you need to get the ball out fast into a playmaker's hands. Debo Samuel fits the bill for me. That's a kid. He's still kind of in his prime years. Drafted in 2019, he's still got some tread on the tire. So I love kind of that fit for this offense.
So Debo Samuel is on Adam Jones' list, but he's actually fourth on his list. If he were
fourth,
ranking. Okay. Yes, he is not on Rich Keefe's list. Fitzy, Who would be number one on your list?
Oh, I think if they were able to, and I know this isn't necessarily the way that it works, but if you were able to have a heart-to-heart conversation, tete-a-tete, yes, heart, yes, if you were able to have a man-to-man conversation.
Yeah, let's go.
And just say, Debo, do you want to restart your career? Do you like, we may even let you go after a year or two just so you can go get that one final deal.
No.
Commit to football again.
No.
You don't get to play third base here. But can you, you know, do you love football enough to want to get back in shape and do it? I think Debo Samuel and Cooper Kupp would come in and teach these guys to be tough. They would teach these guys to be pros, and they would show these New England Patriots wide receivers how to get it done in a number of ways. And between the two of them, if you acquire them both, yeah, it's a lot of money spent, but guess what? A, not our money, and B, if you get a full season out of the two of them combined, it's a win.
Now you're getting me all excited, Fitzy. I'm serious. I'm getting worked up. All right. Glad there's a table here. But there's
hot and bothered.
Button that shirt up.
The idea of Cooper Kupp and Debo Samuel, why I absolutely love that idea,
is
because it jump starts your offense a little bit, right? How do we get Drake May to? Look, I thought Drake May, yes, he threw a lot of interceptions. He turned the ball over, but there was times. I mean, he only had one win last year. We got to start winning football games. You bring in a couple of those guys, and then all of a sudden, you start winning a few more games. Drake May's profile starts to be raised a little bit. Mike Vrabel's here for 1 year. People start to see, wow, this is a good coaching staff. Now you got a little something, a little momentum going into next offseason.
Yes.
And then that's where you maybe start kind of attracting more players here.
Yes.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to, unfortunately, the draft and hitting on the draft. But we don't have that luxury right now. You're going to have to make some trades to get some talent in here. I love the idea of a Cooper Kupp, Debo Samuel combo.
Oh, Ted, I am like that the GIF file of like Jack Nicholson just looking at the camera, just nodding maniacally.
And let me ask you this one: to fix the offensive line, the defensive line, the wide receivers through the draft. We're going to say it's 3, 4, 5 years. It's going to take forever to.
Whoa! It doesn't have to be. Brought up Ladd McConkey
for all of those positions.
Brock Bowers.
We're seeing guys immediately.
Malik Nabers.
Do you trust them to hit on every single draft pick they have the next 2 to 3 years? I don't.
No.
It's very hard to do. So why not jumpstart it by trade some future assets? You know, for those positions, those wide receiver positions with those players. And jumpstart your offense and kind of get this thing going a little.
So before I give you my answer, because you guys have Debo, Kupp, I like the additions. Okay. The snarky, cynical retort would be,
yeah, but who plays wide receiver in October after those guys are on injured reserve?
Because those guys have gotten banged up quite a bit in recent years. That's just the reality, right? Mm-hmm. And that you don't get value out of them. Just as they're hanging around the training room with the young receivers.
Well, this is
right?
Where we turn it onto you, the host. Who do you want then, since you're so smart?
So I don't know if I'm smart, but I see it. Well, the guy I really want is Garrett Wilson, but I don't think he's realistic. I don't think the Jets are trading Garrett Wilson to the Patriots. So I'm not going to go down that fantasy land route.
Second most talented player on the Jets, and they're just going to deal him away in the first year of Aaron Glenn's tenure? No way.
Ever hear of the Mavericks? Ever see the trade they just made?
That was a generationally stupid trade.
But no, I don't think that's going to happen. So the next guy I would go to is also on the Jets. I think Davante Adams has something left in the tank. And I know Tom Curran and Phil Perry have both been beating this drum on NBC Sports Boston. Tom Curran even threw a contract out the other day here on WEEI with the midday program.
How much?
2 years, $64 million, fully guaranteed. He gets $32 million a year. Fully guaranteed. All that.
I'm sorry.
All that and a cup of whatever you want to go with it. Yes, Dan Ball.
Unfortunately, I think Adams may rather play in Siberia than with Josh McDaniels again.
Although, you never know. You never know where his angst was. Was it just Jimmy Garoppolo? Was it Josh McDaniels?
It's a fair point.
Losing
fair point.
The situation? I mean,
$64 million. Does he get a Taco Bell at Patriot Place that he has access to?
It was just a year ago that we had D-Hop considering the Patriots. And D-Hop and Bill O'Brien, their relationship went really south in Houston when he traded him away, if you remember. So, you know, bridges that get burned can be rebuilt, theoretically. And if you're offering him 2 years, $64 million fully guaranteed, that might be a nice step towards rebuilding a bridge.
All right, so just so people understand, he's under contract with the Jets this year.
Yes.
For now. So we'd have to give up a draft picks and then pay him.
Potentially.
A lot of money.
Why are you giving me this? I don't care for this attitude, Ted Johnson.
The Patriots, they're the last 10 years, they led the league in the lowest amount of cash spending.
Yeah.
You think they're going to want to, oh, you know what? Let's give up future draft capital and pay him a boatload of money for a guy that maybe will work out.
I don't think it's going to take a ton of draft capital because he is older and he's sort of playing out the back nine a little bit, and they may be in full rebuild mode. I don't know exactly what's going to go on in New York with the new GM, the new head coach. Aaron Rodgers is out. How are they figuring everything out? Davante Adams is probably going to want out. He's not probably going to want to hang around for that. Can you sell him on Drake May? Does he watch those recruiting videos, Fitzy, that I call them, those highlight plays, and say, oh, yeah, that kid's not Jimmy Garoppolo. That kid got some moxie. That kid, I'll play with that kid. He's a young Aaron Rodgers. I had plenty of success with Aaron Rodgers. I can do it with him, too.
How many rings does Davante Adams have?
Zero. So? How is that
relevant?
So
don't you think if he's got...
How many has Debo got?
He's been to more NFC championships.
We're giving out rings for going to NFC championships.
No, I'm just saying he's been to more Super Bowls recently as well. Davante Adams has been to zero Super Bowls, has not won a Super Bowl. Obviously, you have to kind of go to it to win one. Don't you think Davante Adams, if he has, let's say, 1 to 2 years left of his prime and 3 to 4 years left in the league, period, since he is clearly teeing off on the 12th or 13th hole on the back nine of the 18 holes of his career, don't you think he's going to want to say, yeah, I'd rather go to Kansas City. I'd rather go Detroit. I'd rather go to even Dallas.
Are any of those teams offering him 2 years, $64 million, fully guaranteed?
I think he's got enough money. I'm sure he loves money. Everybody loves money.
Yeah.
But I do not think that Davante Adams is going to say, let me take a chance on making the wild card once over the next 2 years in New England. Oh, by the way, where it's freezing cold. Again, one of the things we have to take into account, people may love Vrabel. They may want to play with Drake May all day. But the fact that, like, it's not warm all year, that you're not in a dome, that it is Taxachusetts, all of these things are going to weigh on these guys.
What about Washington? Everybody tells me Washington's the coolest place to be these days.
There it is. Boom. Davante Adams. Wham.
Oh, so now he'll go to Washington where it's cold. Yep. It's and they might not go to a Super Bowl.
Did you see how cold it was? It was -570 degrees this week.
Washington can be cold, too. So things can turn around quickly in the NFL, and I think the best way to turn around a tide of negative thoughts is $64 million fully guaranteed. I think people follow money. 617-779-7937. Who should the Patriots target as their number one wide receiver option this offseason? We all agree they need one, but we don't seem to agree on who that guy should be. Who should they trade for? Who should they sign? We'll get to your phone calls on the topic up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
If you missed any part of the show,
or to have it delivered to your phone daily,
subscribe to the WEEI Afternoons podcast on the Odyssey app
or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Oof. That's Rams head coach Sean McVay.
That's my praise right there, man.
He is an offensive genius, right? He's an expert witness on quarterback play, offense, all that.
Yes, sir, he is. I'd say so, yes.
If he feels that way about Drake May, is it not possible then that other wide receivers look at Drake May and say, that's a special player that I wouldn't mind playing with?
That's why we played that. That's the hope. Cooper heard what his coach said and is like, you know what? I want to go play. I go play with that kid.
So is Cooper Kupp your top choice?
Easily. Hands down. Okay. Without question.
Same. 100%. Like, tell me right now, you can pick a receiver from the veteran market, 100% Cooper Kupp.
More so than DK Metcalf, more so than Garrett Wilson, more so than...
DK Metcalf ain't coming here, guy.
Okay, there's a lot of negativity. Let's just pretend. It's a nice place. It's Boston. We got Drake May.
What did you do with Andy Hart? What is this pretend season optimism receiver nonsense? I'm trafficking in reality.
Okay, well, in reality, it feels like none of them are coming here. The one thing that I think they offer Cooper Kupp that, honestly, I said this when we talked about it a week or so ago.
Ownership.
No. The number one wide receiver role. I don't know that there's anywhere else in the NFL that's going to say, Cooper Kupp, come to our team and be our number one wide receiver.
Other place I can think of.
Where's that?
Sadly, Kansas City.
Okay, maybe. Yeah,
Kelsey's cooked. Rashee Rice would gladly be a two Xavier coming Worthy's, off an injury.
I mean, Worthy and Rice.
He's aspiring to be than one.
And if Kelsey sticks around, then he's just one of the cogs in the machine.
How about Buffalo? What is he in Buffalo?
Maybe. I mean, depending on what they do with Cooper, Shakir, like, there's other guys. Yeah. I mean, I guess you probably would label him the number one wide receiver there. But here, no one else is in unless they draft, I guess, McMillan at number four overall. I guess you could say a young guy or whatever. You offer him the ability to be the number one wide receiver on your team for Drake May with a young quarterback. Go out there and get 100-plus targets and try to prove you're not done. There's something left in your legs. And that's an opportunity that maybe paired with the idea that maybe Sean McVay talking up Drake May, and he's like, oh, you know what? I'll go play with him.
I guarantee you, maybe not in the offensive meeting rooms of the L.A. Rams, but in the defensive meeting rooms of the L.A. Rams, coordinators, players, we're talking up Drake May. You know, there's just that's how guys are. We're sitting in meetings and we're looking at a young quarterback that, you know, when Ben Roethlisberger beat us in 2004 to snap our 21-game win streak, he was a rookie that year. I mean, we're sitting in that meeting room after we lost that game and going, okay, this guy they call Big Ben, he's pretty good, man. We're going to have our hands full with him down the road. I mean, and so guys start talking. I guarantee you in the L.A. Rams facility after the Rams just dissected, surgically just took the Patriots to task in that game, we're all talking about. But they saw Drake May flash and that this kid's going to be special. So, you know, some of that, you know, Cooper Kupp hears that. You hope that maybe they hear that and they go, okay, well, that's a team I wouldn't mind playing for, a young up-and-comer like that.
Let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Bob in Londonderry. What are your thoughts on the Patriots wide receivers? Good. What's up?
Well, you know, I enjoy the show, but you know me, I call from time to time.
Yeah.
What's going to happen if reality, we really aren't able to get anybody, whether it's this, that, and I mean somebody who's really going to make a difference, regardless of the coaching staff? What's plan B, C, or D should they just remain in this go-nowhere position?
All right, Bob, thanks for the call.
Yep.
I don't care for it.
The tonality was a little rough.
I'll have you know I don't care for your tone.
Listen, this is not the time for reality. It's February. We're talking about $280 million salary caps. We're talking about $130 million in cap space. We're talking about the fourth overall pick. Okay, but I'll play along. Let's say they can't trade for anybody and they can't sign anybody. Well, doesn't that mean they probably utilized some assets in March on other needs that they probably signed Ronnie Stanley, let's say?
Correct.
Or whatever. They're going to sign somebody for a big contract to fill a big hole. And if they don't have success at receiver, maybe it was that offensive line. So they started to do some of that. That would lend me to believe wide receiver becomes a prime position at the top of the draft. And whether it's Tet McMillan, whether it's the, who's the third? The kid from Missouri.
There's Luther. There's Matthew Golden from Texas. There's Ibuka from Ohio State, who is, by the way, creeping up draft boards fast.
Yeah. So that would be my retort to Bob. If they aren't able to do the trade free agency thing to bring a top one or two wide receiver in, I think you then put a more emphasis in the draft on one of those first round, even if it's a trade down. Maybe you don't want to take him at four and you trade down to wherever, but I think we'd start talking more about wide receivers.
That's definitely an option. Or you're going to be picking high in the second round. You try again, maybe in the second round, but also
double dip.
If you at the end of the day, you go through the draft, you go through free agency, and you're still not real pumped about your wide receiver group, you go, well, at least we got two tight ends. Now, Austin Hooper is a free agent.
Yeah.
But you kind of lean into a two tight end package.
Oh,
you
no.
build. Oh, yeah. You kind of lean on a running game a little bit just to survive.
Not that.
I watched 2024. I didn't like it.
It's going to be hard to get
2023.
This team needs two high end wide receivers. At least to me, and it's going to be hard to get in free agency and in the draft.
There's a name we haven't said yet, and there's multiple texters, including one who decided to use like the cut and paste. AJ Brown. Sure. AJ Brown just won the Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. He bought a mannequin that is now displaying his game-worn, unwashed Super Bowl uniform in his living room. Mm-hmm. Does that seem like a guy that's shooting his way out of Philadelphia right now?
No, not that he won now his beloved and dropped the F-bomb when he talked about being a champion. And
realizing champion! He is an effing champion, and he's going to stay with the effing team where he won the effing championship for at least one more year. Now, I don't discount a year from now we could be talking.
Why are people throwing out that name? Just because he had an issue with his coach a little bit here and there?
Yes, he's awesome because he always wanted to be a Patriot because he has a great relationship with Mike Vrabel. Like, there's a litany of reasons why.
Well, yeah,
he's always wanted to be a Patriot.
Oh, yeah, he was a Patriot fan. He thought they were going to draft him. He cried when they didn't draft him.
I must have
been asleep that day. But he just won the Super Bowl, scored a touchdown with the Philadelphia Eagles. So we need to table that. Maybe we'll revisit that next spring. Hopefully he's on the outs in Philadelphia, and maybe he'll be the addition, the hot name then. But for right now, A.J. Brown is not an option.
So if the Patriots decided they wanted to move on from Ramondre Stevenson, the best avenue for doing that would be via trade. They take a $12.5 million cap if they just cut him outright. If they're able to trade him after June 1st, they'd only take $1.6 million. And I'm sure you say, well, he's got no offensive line help. Why is he supposed to be able to generate yards behind the 32nd offensive line in the NFL? And if that's the case, then why are you spending $9 million on something you can barely use? That would be my contention. Send his ass to a team that could use it. Have him follow the Sony Michel route. Go to the Rams. They could use you. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, what do you get in return for Ramondre? What would be a fair return?
Honestly, because he's got a fairly sizable yearly contract, you're probably going to get a fourth, a fifth in exchange. But this is a great – the reason I also bring it up is it's a great running back draft.
Tom Curran, earlier this week on Jones and Keefe. You can catch him today on WEEI Afternoons. Is trading Ramondre Stevenson worth it for a fourth or fifth round pick?
I wouldn't. I'm down on him like everybody else because of the fumbles, but he's still a pretty good player. And even if you like the running back class, which Tom pointed out there, like the draft isn't a particularly strong one overall. But if you like the running backs, add a running back. That's fine. Right. Add him with Ramondre. Like plenty of – like Saquon Barkley is such – Saquon and Derrick Henry are kind of their own thing. Everybody else, like, look how good the Detroit guys were, and they were splitting carries and everything else. So if you want to do something like that, I'm all for adding somebody. I don't think a fifth-round pick for Ramondre makes sense for me.
So I don't think that's worth it either, to be honest. And you can say, oh, well, his contract isn't worth it. They have so much cap space. They actually have more cap space than we even realized.
They are the Scrooge McDuck meme.
With the NFL announcing yesterday that the salary cap is going up, and the Patriots actually have even more space, but that
money.
Means... Other teams have more space as well.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine that's great news for the Patriots. You would think the cap going up is good. They already had the most cap space. All this is doing is giving other teams more wiggle room to extend on players already on their roster if they were thinking about cutting them. Or in a signing, everybody has a little more money to play around with. I think that's a bad thing for the Patriots.
I guess it just depends on how down Vrabel and McDaniels are on Ramondre. So I don't know if maybe Tom Curran's heard wind of that. Like, those guys don't trust him with the ball kind of thing?
I agree with you on this. I think it's a reflection of some of the guys Wolf paid a year ago, and this is more evidence of what Reese was talking about. It was just one minor release of Taki, a linebacker that, honestly, no one probably even remembers.
No.
But Reese says this is evidence of Vrabel putting his fingerprints all over the roster decision and having juice with the roster. Trading Ramondre, when Elliott Wolf just paid him last year?
Yeah.
Trading Godchow? Maybe that isn't as much a reflection on Wolf, but Curran also brought up Barmore.
Yeah.
Those are all names he brought up, and like if you're moving on from any of those guys, that is Vrabel coming in and taking over.
Because it's all guys that Bill brought in, and then for the most part, guys that Elliott re-signed.
Correct.
So it's like a real departure from both previous regimes. I just feel like this team has so many needs, and they might still need a running back with Ramondre. So if you ship him out, like now you need two. And for, like, for a fifth-round pick, like I don't know if you're necessarily going to replace that or at least the guy that you're confident in the fifth round to be a plug-and-play. So it just adds to your like insanely long list of needs.
Yeah, I don't know if I need a fourth or fifth-round pick. Like extra picks, I guess, are always good.
Take it.
And if you were drafting a running back, do you need Ramondre? And could you take the extra pick? Fine, maybe.
But also, it's a bad draft, right? So the draft stinks in the first round, but we need more fifth-rounders for this year?
Good point.
Maybe a future draft maybe you'd feel better about.
And maybe the reason the running backs are pushing up the board is because it's a bad draft. So I was going to bring this up. Daniel Jeremiah, I like his draft
work sticks.
Very much. Move the sticks.
First down.
He had his mock draft 2.0. We talked about it briefly yesterday. Will Campbell to the Patriots at 4.
Yeah.
But he had three backs in the first round. And he had Genty falling pretty far, like into the 20s far, or like high
really?
Teens. Yeah, like most... Most mock drafts you look at, Jenty doesn't really fall past the Cowboys at 12.
I was going to say, I could definitely see him going top 12.
He has Ashton Jenty, I forget if it was the high teens or the 20s.
Hmm.
He has a name that Curran mentioned to us when he talked to us on Tuesday, Amarian Hampton from UNC.
Hmm.
So I guess maybe some familiarity with Drake May, if that matters, in the 20s. And then Travion Henderson from Ohio State. He has all three in the first round.
Hmm. I wouldn't. I'd take Jenty. Like, if I traded down, right? Obviously, none of those guys at four.
Is there merit
I wouldn't
to that?
Really want either of those other guys, though, in
okay,
the first round.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And I think there are other bad. There's two spots where the draft is pretty deep, and it's not. They're not traditional, like, premium positions.
Mm-hmm.
But it's D tackle, like the interior D line,
yeah,
and running back. So if you want to wait to get those guys, I think you can wait to get those
guys.
I'll
say both. And, you know, this is Bills. So this is a different thing, but just. Maybe it's like, as a Patriots fan, you look back. All right, the two times they drafted a running back in the first round, you got Lawrence Maroney and Sony Michel.
It's tough.
And then two of the D tackles. After the original awesome run of Seymour, Wilfork, Warren, those guys, since then it was like Malcolm Brown, Dominique Easley, and you're like, oh, okay. Now, right, that doesn't mean you don't draft those positions. I'm just saying, like,
they really were the outliers at the time.
Yeah, yeah, they were. And that's just what I was thinking of. But
so, in a bad draft, we've talked a lot about would you move up and, you know, what it would cost to move up to number one. We talked about that briefly yesterday. It's 1,200 points on the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, which means you're giving up your second rounder this year and your first rounder next year just to move up three spots to number one. In a bad draft, Keith. There are very few premium players. Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter are mm-hmm. two of them.
Yeah.
Another guy who's viewed as like a premium player, but it's just not at a premium position, is Jenty. Should we not rule out the Patriots could move down to 8, 10, accumulate assets, and get a player that you feel confident is going to hit, even if it's not at like a must-have premium position? Is there merit to the Patriots should move down and get a more sure thing in a guy like Jenty?
Yeah.
And get more assets.
So I like that plan more than just the, you know, Jeremiah mock draft where they stay at 4 and pick Will Campbell.
Sure.
If you move down to 8 or 9 and you pick Jenty and you pick up another pick and then you can take a stab at, you know, best Haas available at that point, then I would do it. I think to me, out of all the scenarios that are out there, the worst one is probably staying on the board at 4 and taking somebody other than Hunter or Carter. I also don't love the idea of trading up, even though you would get Hunter or Carter. I don't want to sacrifice all the picks that it would take to move up there. So maybe, as good as those players are, the Patriots need too much.
By the way, they're showing PK Subban on First Take right now. He's just holding up a Team USA jersey.
Put it on.
Like, yeah, seriously.
Why has he got a USA jersey though? That wouldn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. Why Yeah, why is he? Yeah, I was about to say we're even more American than him, but right, he's not even American.
Canadian, and he played for Montreal.
Why was he holding up the Team USA jersey?
I don't know. That's the problem when you have it on mute. No clue. No clue what they're saying.
I'll tell you what, that actually...
I bet Stephen A. Smith's doing a good breakdown of this hockey game.
Canada might disown PK after that, actually.
They're not going to like
jersey
that. No, they're not going to care for that.
Ay, caramba.
Mm-hmm.
Text line, by the way, speaking of that, text line says we shouldn't eat a bald eagle. Some would say that's the most American thing to do, even though it's illegal. F them laws, that's kind of an American thing.
I think that's that swings back to being too American.
Right. Somebody suggested we should eat a Canadian goose.
I'll eat a goose.
Killed by an eagle. I missed that.
Wow.
Line. Yeah, now we're talking.
Perfect. Also, like, lots of Cam Scataboo. I assumed it was the same number. No. Multiple people are
different
saying
numbers on the text line.
All different numbers.
It's in the Twitch chat as well. Now, who knows? Those could be the same.
Dude, he looked good.
But, like,
guy's a player.
Here, you know what this is evidence of, Keith?
People watch the college football playoffs?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
One game.
People watch. No.
They had a good year.
Look, I mean, college football is not a thing here in New England. It probably never will be a thing. I enjoy it, but whatever. It won't be a thing.
You can't make
it a thing.
Yeah.
But the college football playoff got people to tune in to watch one game, and they all saw Cam Scataboo.
Dude, like, Scataboo's a beast.
That's what it tells you.
Yeah.
Because anytime we talk draft, specifically running back, we get texts like that or in the Twitch. It happens every time.
You think he'll be any good in the pros?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
I think he might be okay.
Okay. Oh, well, you said good.
No, I know.
Okay.
I answered it differently.
I would say he might be okay. You could convince me of that.
Dude, he had over 2,300 yards from scrimmage last year. Guy's a machine.
Yeah, that does not always translate.
24 tugs.
College production doesn't always translate.
Always. Every single time.
That was the voice of Steve Smith on apparently his own Facebook page breaking down... YouTube page, sorry. Facebook, YouTube.
That's the podcast he does for Underdog with James Palmer, who used to be with the Niffle Network.
Oh, okay. Well, he was explaining or making excuses for Jalen Polk that it's not his fault, which
you
I find
defended him.
Steve Smith, a borderline Hall of Fame wide receiver, expert witness in the area. So we'll take it for what it's worth here on WEEI Afternoons. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and joining us now, Ted Johnson.
Hey, what's up, guys? How we doing today?
We're doing great. What was your reaction to that audio? Because you mumbled something as it was playing off air, and I would like you to bring it on air.
What did I say? I think something to the effect that, it was his fault. Sorry, Steve, and I have a ton of respect for Steve Smith. I love the way he played the game, but... you know, and this is where you have to say with all due respect.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, with all due respect, right, Fitzy, that that you if you don't watch every single game, you know, like we do here, and you don't see for yourself up close and personal kind of what the player that, you know, that Steve is observing. And he was highlighting kind of routes from Jalen Polk. You can pick some plays here and there or games here and there and maybe make a case for why you don't think it's Jalen Polk's fault. But I would strongly disagree with Steve just watching the kid all season long. I didn't see anything from him that I saw in college. I love that offense in college. I thought it was an incredible offense to watch there at Washington. I saw none of what I saw in Washington from Jalen Polk this year. Not physical. Now, he's not a big guy, okay? But just because you're not a big guy doesn't mean you can't play physical. Getting pushed out of bounds. That is one of probably the toughest thing for a young wide receiver to adjust to is the physicality of the game. A lot of times in college, they don't play press man. They play soft zone coverage. And so they're not used to having guys put their hands on them. He was just not ready for the pro game. And what concerns me the most about Jalen Polk, you guys, is I never saw him flash. Can you give me even if he has a down year, which he clearly was a terrible year. There's moments where you can say, but he flashed in this game where he had that one play. Give me a play. Flashed.
Does it have to be a game?
Yes. Yes. I'm sorry. Practice does not count. I'm sorry.
Can it be a play like or two?
A play from what? From training camp?
I got one from minicamp. He ended minicamp on a fade in the back corner of the end zone with the officials there, and he scored, and it was from Drake May, and everybody was excited.
In minicamp. They don't wear pads in minicamp, do they?
They had pads, don't they?
In minicamp?
I feel like in June in minicamp. Did they not have pads on?
No, they don't have pads on in minicamp.
Oh, don't be a wet blanket. He caught the ball in the corner of the end zone.
It's not your fault.
The point is, so you making plays in minicamp does not count.
Didn't he catch two touchdowns? Wasn't he wide open in the back of the end zone?
Yeah, from the 2-yard line. And it was the perfectly designed play that got him open. The rub route that got him open.
But he didn't trip.
Okay, fair point. I would expect a lot more from a second round draft pick, than just that one play where it was designed to get him open.
Okay, well, so listen, Fitzy and I were just discussing the year 1, 2, 3, 4 year 9 jump, I believe, and the defensive capabilities of Rafi Devers, which I think is stupid.
This is his year.
Because if he breaks out this year, it's bad. It means he wasn't trying for like 8 years. So I think it's unrealistic to expect him to become a very good third. Year 2? Different story. Year 2 jump? Year 2 just wipe out rookie year because you were overwhelmed, you get off on a bad start, it's snowballed, whatever. I think there's a possibility that he is significantly better than what he put on the field last year. My one concern is they build him as plug and play. Like, they expected him to be NFL ready. They took that into consideration when they drafted him. They knew he didn't have as much upside as some other receivers, and there maybe wasn't as much room for growth and ceiling. They expected him to be plug and play ready. And as we saw, he was not plug and play ready.
That was the other guy that went to the Chargers.
Don't
McConkey.
Do it.
I was having a perfectly fine day.
Both of these guys are plug and play, but you know, let's go with the Washington kid.
Yeah.
Other than the Ladd McConkey, was he a Clemson kid? Yeah. So
Georgia. No, Ladd McConkey was Georgia. Yeah. The problem was I think I read the Patriots draft notes. It said makes too much sense. So they decided.
Okay, let's do this. Look, quick side. I think the way they looked at it, and I haven't really had anybody tell me this, is they had Pop Douglas, and they thought they had a developing slot receiver. And I think they thought, for the betterment of the offense, a different style receiver could be more valuable without the redundancy and abilities to have.
So they just brought in a bad one as the different style.
When did I become the positive one on this effing show? I am not qualified for this.
I'm a little surprised.
All right, look, I'm currently on his NFL.com prospect page. This was the prospect grade and score that he got coming out of the combine in college.
This is Polk?
I love this.
Yes, Jalen Polk.
Okay.
His prospect grade, Andy, you want to take a guess?
What's the grading scale?
Yeah, I don't know their system. What's their system?
Out of 100? It's out of 100, probably.
He got a 6.21. What that translated into was will eventually be average starter.
Oh, I don't like that. That doesn't sound like plug and play.
And Next Gen Stats gave him an 80. His athleticism score said he was the 16th best receiver. He was supposedly the 8th best receiver coming out in college. His 40-yard dash, Ted, 4.52, 10-yard split, 1.52.
Yeah.
Tested out fine. Like, it looked like he would be, a good-ish receiver.
Yeah, that's all fine and dandy. It's can the kid play football? And I think he had trouble lining up. There was a little Tootie issues, little attitude issues.
There was definitely Tootie issues, and there was definitely problems lining up, which I don't hate.
Tootie like the old jewelry store?
Tootie, as the kids say, like to say he's got a little Tootie. Did he get better? Did you see any growth? Did you see any
Why
development?
Am I being interrogated here? Just because I stood up for
I'm
him.
Throwing it out there.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I'm going to set a number. 41 receptions.
This year?
You're out of career? Your mind. For a career.
Oh, Dan. Oh.
Again, the
Dan.
Negativity, as Rick Pitino said, in this town and in this room sucks.
But I guess what did you see from last year that gives you confidence that he'll be a lot better this year?
Okay, you're going to laugh at me, and I deserve to be laughed at when I say this, but he wasn't awful on the practice field in June and July and August.
So
he
what broke him?
Well, the texters, most of this year's problem is coaching. We did hear, and I don't even remember the guy's name.
That's most of the texture. So the textures agree with Steve Smith saying it wasn't his fault.
Yes. Yep. And who is Fitzy, Dan, somebody look this up. Stats and information, whatever Rich Keefe calls it. Who was the wide receivers coach that everybody started throwing under the bus last year?
Oh, Tyler Hughes.
Yeah. I was going to say Tyler Huntley, but then I was like, no, that's not the right name.
No, Snoop Huntley, he went to the Pro Bowl.
Probably could have done a better job.
Two touchdowns and three picks. Yeah. This guy, Andy, the wide receivers coach last year might be a perfectly lovely gentleman, and I'd be happy to buy him a beer one day. He was coaching high school 2 years ago.
Okay, but you know who he coached a year before he got to the Patriots?
Who?
Jalen Polk at Washington. That is the former Washington wide receivers coach.
So you're saying and that guy got three receivers drafted, right?
Yeah, he did.
Adunze was awesome. The kid down in Tampa was awesome.
Yeah.
We got the one that wasn't.
McMillan was excellent.
Imagine that. They had three excellent NFL wide receivers.
Here's the thing. At the end of the day, Jalen's going to get another shot this year.
He should.
Because he's a second rounder.
Well, he has to. Otherwise, he joins Taylor Price, Chad Jackson, Aaron Dobson, and everyone else in the Patriots second round.
They all got multiple years. Yeah, Ted's right. Unless Vrabel just says, this guy can't play for me, which I doubt.
How's he going to know that?
Right.
Unless, being in a building for the last 2 months.
So he's going to get a shot. Now, he might not get the shots he had last year because coming in last year with a wide open, clean slate wide receiver depth chart, wide open, ironically, in terms of names, not on the field. If he had been good, he could have caught 100 balls, right? Like, it was not like he was stuck behind Moss and Welker. Oh, he's really good. He's just not going to get the opportunities.
Right.
If he had been good, he would have gotten a lot of catches.
This offense, absolutely.
Wait, last season?
Yes.
Yes.
This year.
I mean, Drake May was barely had enough time to get off 20 passes a game because the line was so GD bad.
But wait a minute. No. Kayshon Booty made plays, didn't he?
He sure did, downfield.
He made plays downfield. He also had his fair share of dropsy doodles, too, bud.
Okay, I know, but even as the positive one in the room, I will go back to Ted's question. Name the highlights. Name the pops. Name the... When I say Jalen Polk, you say what in terms of...
Disappointing.
Yeah, that's my point. You don't have even a single play. He played last year, I mean, sparingly. I'm not going to pretend he was on the field all the time. Kayshon Booty made plays. I can tell you the plays. I'm not going to say he's great. I don't even know if he's a starting caliber NFL wide receiver, Kayshon Booty. But he made plays at times last year, right?
He did. At times, he sure did.
Actually, you know what, Andy? It's very interesting that this steers in the direction of Booty. Don't. Because... I'm sorry I said that while you were sipping as well. I could have been a bad spit take.
Yep.
But if you think about it, didn't Kayshon Booty say that getting basically benched and DNP'd after not getting his foot in bounds against the Eagles in the opening game of 2023 caused a ripple effect that caused him to have his confidence rattled in 2023, and then he was unsure if he could play again. Then he gets a second chance in 2024, put in the work, said, I'm never going back to that, and redeemed himself.
Yeah.
So why can't Jalen Polk be this year's Kayshon Booty and turn things around and show that he is a professional and worthy of being on an NFL roster?
You could totally be accurate in that assessment there, you know, Fitzy. I'm just basing it off of what I saw last year. I did not see a professional wide receiver anywhere inside the body of Jalen Polk. That's all. I didn't see anything that leads me to think that this guy will figure it out, has potential. Just if some things went different, if he had some different coaching, that all of a sudden he's going to live up to that second round billing. I didn't see anything in that last year, so it'd just be blind faith and to suggest, hey, maybe. And I will tell you this, guys, and it is so true. It is so true. Going from your first year to your second year is like night and day. So maybe Jalen Polk will experience the same feeling I had going from my rookie year to my second year, like most people do, and he'll be okay. But there's nothing that I saw from him last year that gives me any kind of confidence that he's going to turn into the player that we want him to be and be worthy of that second-round pick.
So you do believe in the year two jump. You do believe that's massive, maybe the biggest jump you make in your career kind of thing. And you're right. There was nothing post-practice. Because I do agree, and you can ask our buddy tomorrow, Tom Curran, who joins us at 3:30 each and every Thursday. You can ask him. Because I know he and I agree on this. Polk wasn't terrible in the summer. He was a guy you're like, okay, he's building a little something. Probably more a possession receiver than anything else. Doesn't get great separation. Doesn't make huge plays. But capable.
Yeah, discount Amari Cooper.
Big discount. Real big discount. Going out of business, and there's only one more day we got the building, so it's like 90% discount.
Building 19 Amari Cooper for the locals.
I think it's Ollie's now has replaced some of those. Ollie's down my way.
Ocean State job lot, fine.
But you agree with it. He also was a second-round pick. That's what you'd be putting your faith in, that there was a disconnect, whether it's coaching, whether it's him. Maybe he was homesick. Maybe he hated being away from whatever. I don't know. But you'd be putting your stock in he was a second-round pick, and the NFL deemed him. And I do think Patriots maybe drafted him a little higher than most.
According to most draft boards, they did.
But he was going to be drafted
in the second round somewhere.
Second round or early third at the latest.
At the latest, yeah.
So he's a talent. Like, he has NFL ability. Mm-hmm. You just need to get the NFL ability onto an NFL field, and we never saw that.
And I will say this, and Fitzy kind of touched on it, is the ability in this league is you need ability. Just plain and simple, if you don't have the athletic ability, you don't have. But what keeps guys from having jobs and not having jobs is between the ears.
Yeah.
And that's in receivers more than anything. You talk about a confidence being such a fragile thing, right? And it is so doggone fragile. And so many guys go washed out of this league because they don't have the confidence to overcome their mistakes. Jalen Polk, you know what? There were times when he didn't get open. There were times when he didn't get separation. And then when the ball would come to him, balls dropped.
Yep.
Right in his hands. Dropped. That's confidence. That's you know, and Gerard got crushed for even suggesting that mentally maybe he wasn't, you know, where he needed to be with regards to the catching the ball, and he took offense to that. But it's the honest truth is that, especially with receivers, confidence, they got to feel like they are invincible and that they're the best out there. I didn't see that from him. I saw a guy that just didn't look like he was a confident wide receiver in this league.
Which flew in the face of his words, because Fitzy, you remember, I believe he said, I have the best hands in the NFL, or something to that effect.
That was right after 19 different bizarre Instagram stories that just get, like, there was the one black sheep in the sea of all white sheep, and then there was, Ted, he got way too into his own head, got way into his feels, got way into his mentions, like, he just... If anybody needs a complete reset and flush coming out of last year that's him. A carryover... 100%. It's Jalen Polk. And also, guys, our pal Megan Onalini has a great piece at WEI.com right now where she spoke to a bunch of different And I know how you feel about some of these guys, Andy. You're like a P1 of Footwork King and all these other Athletic Institute guys that put out the hype reels of...
You mean guys paid by the player said positive things about the player? That's the damnedest thing.
I knew that take was coming. Thank God I bet that you would say that, because at least I made money off
Maybe we should call their moms and dads next and see if they think they're good athletes.
Maybe you should call your mom. All right, so she spoke to a couple folks that had worked with these guys and also some that didn't have any affiliation with
like
Patriots receivers. And the predominant thing was that Patriots focus too much on speed. They need to get back. They need bigger body guys. They need to get back to, quote, their type. The slot receiver, the third down back. They don't have any Shane Vereen types. There's no Edelman. There's no Amendola on this team. There's no Welker.
True that.
This is what's worked in Josh's offense. There's no big outside X. And also... that Javon Baker, just as badly as Polk does, needs a reset because he has way too much physical talent to just be a complete flop, a one-catch, 12-yard dud like last year. And you know how hype I was on that. And, you know, I ate the L on that last year. But I refuse to believe that that guy is going to be a one-catch wonder for his whole life.
It's just going to be – it could be a long season if we're just relying on hoping that these guys, Javon Baker, Jalen Polk, have massive improvements from last year to this year. If that's what we're gonna do, I think the offensive line's gonna be better. I think there's gonna be better coaching at the wide receiver position, better coaching at the quarterback position. I don't know if it's gonna be. I tend to worry based off of what I saw last year, not seeing either of those guys. I mean, Javon Baker could get on the field because he couldn't even line up, for crying out loud.
Correct.
So I don't even know if he can play, because I don't know if he can line up. And so, you know, ideally to me, guys, you add a wide receiver. To me, it's got to be via trade. I look at the free agents. I don't like any really of the free agents that are available. The ones that are available are probably going to get signed by the teams they're currently with, that being like a Stephon Diggs, T. Higgins, obviously. I'd be interested in maybe a Keenan Allen just because he's an older guy. I want an older kind of pros pro. He could maybe be available. I'd be interested in that. But otherwise, it's going to be get a trade, you know, and that's, to me, that's where Cooper Kupp comes in, and then you've got to draft another one. I would draft another one, you know, is as high as maybe the second or third round. And that's how you slowly try to build that room back up.
And that's where we're going to go next here on WEEI Afternoons, because I refuse to believe two things. I refuse to believe all of these guys stink and can't play in the NFL. All the Patriots wide receivers, the young guys, the Pop Douglas, the Booty, the Polk. I refuse to believe they all stink. But I also refuse to believe the team is just going to count on them getting better to be the focal point of the passing game and the wide receiver position. And if they bring somebody in, what's the domino effect? Does that make those guys better just by association, by mm-hmm. coverage, by the way they're treated? All of that.
Little past high noon here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. You missed out on Keefe's Beefs, Odyssey app, Jones and Keefe, Twitter, and Instagram. Terp's done an excellent job.
Yeah, it's a good graphic.
With some of the images there.
Very good.
If you missed the news earlier today on Charlie McAvoy, will not be playing in the Four Nations final, USA and Canada on Thursday night at TD Garden. We do have news on the replacement. Quinn Hughes en route to join Team USA in Boston. It's according to Chris Johnston. Actually, that's right from Mike Sullivan, the head coach, Chris Johnston, the NHL reporter. Passing that along, we can get back into Four Nations. We'll get back into the Red Sox as well. But it's not only a Tier Tuesday, it's a Tommy Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. What's going on this week, Tom E?
It's freezing, and it's very, very windy. It's scarily windy, and kind of hunkered down. And we're in that little period now before free agency, before the owners' meetings, where we get that great opportunity to hear what the goals are for the team, and then the draft. So it's kind of a reset. So that's kind of what I've been doing. That's why I fired off a couple of texts to you about positional overviews to kind of, where is this team really at position? So that's what's going on.
Well, and I want to get to some of the positional overviews coming up. You've already written about quarterbacks and running backs, some ideas for the Patriots this offseason, and various degrees of need for the team. On T. Higgins, we were just discussing this. It sounds like he's going to get franchise tagged by the Bengals. If he does get franchise tagged, is the dream dead of T. Higgins coming here? Is there still an avenue for the Patriots to get him? Where do you think that stands?
It depends upon how militant he becomes in his stance and whether or not he tries to force a trade. I just think there's such a pecking order that exists in the AFC among teams who might have the cap space and certainly afford better opportunities. If you're a 26-year-old wide receiver, you might be less interested in the opportunity to win a championship, more interested in saying, this is my second contract. This is the one where I have to make $120 million, $150 million with $50 million or more guaranteed. So I think the Patriots would be in the pecking order there. But I've kind of always felt as if this was a 10% chance of T. Higgins winding up in New England anyway. So that's why I've continually kind of banged the drum for other options, because I just don't think that right now, despite all the things we've said, whether it's Drake May, whether it's Mike Vrabel, whether it's cap space, I just don't think it's an attractive landing spot yet.
Do we have any idea what type of player personnel guy Mike Vrabel is going to be? So if he's the one that has final say, I'm curious on sort of like the draft philosophy, because you look around the league, Tom, there are some GMs that'll trade first-round picks every year. They don't care. Like the Rams, like they're going to be aggressive, and they'll trade them all for established guys. There are others that love the idea of trading down, like Bill did for many years, and getting as many picks as possible. And then there are others that like won't budge on their picks. Do we have any idea what type Mike Vrabel will be?
I don't know if we have one entirely yet. I think that the best kind of a GM is one who can be malleable to the situation at hand. Like this year is not the fourth overall pick this year, as I think I said to you last week, is probably about the 10th or 11th overall pick last year. It's just not as good a pick. So you want to try and move down and you want to try and find a buyer here that you would not, as the Patriots stated and did not do, move down last year, even though I was a proponent of that, because I think this team is so bad that it needed multiple positions filled. They're still kind of in that boat, but I don't know if they're going to be able to move down. But I don't specifically know how aggressive they are. All I can base it on is some of the guys that they took when Vrabel was there, the Jeffrey Simmonses, the A.J. Browns, how they built their team was extremely strong on the lines. So I'm looking at that and saying, well, this seems like a team that wants to be strong up front, build the team that way. And I think that that's, having placed Drake May on the team and you have that cog there, it's something that the Patriots are probably going to try and do.
You started to do your positional overviews, various degrees of need for the Patriots this offseason. You've done quarterbacks and running backs thus far. Running backs certainly a higher priority for the Patriots this offseason. I think you pegged it at a 4 out of 5. What'd you figure out through that exercise?
They don't have anybody. This is the second season in a row. That's an overstatement. This is the second season in a row in which Ramondre Stevenson has been the second best running back on the team. Ezekiel Elliott was a better back in 2023 than Ramondre Stevenson, and Antonio Gibson was a better back in 2024 than Ramondre Stevenson. His 7 fumbles, 6 lost, was the highest among running backs in the NFL. Gibson was a good player, but he's averaged 150 carries over the course of his season, of his career. So right now you have Stevenson's working on a 4-year, $36 million contract. He's got $17 million guaranteed up front. So his cap hit is not bad at 5.54, but he's not playing to that level at all. So if the Patriots decided they wanted to move on from Ramondre Stevenson, the best avenue for doing that would be via trade. They'd take a $12.5 million cap if they just cut him outright. If they're able to trade him after June 1st, they'd only take $1.6 million. And I'm sure you say, well, he's got no offensive line help. Why is he supposed to be able to generate yards behind the 32nd offensive line in the NFL? And if that's the case, then why are you spending $9 million on something you can barely use? That would be my contention. Send his ass to a team that could use it. Have him follow the Sony Michel route. Go to the Rams. They could use you.
What do you?
That
get,
would be, to me, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what do you get in return for Ramondre? What would be a fair return?
Honestly, because he's got a fairly sizable yearly contract, you're probably going to get a fourth, a fifth in exchange.
But this is a great – the reason I also bring it up is it's a great running back draft. And I know the people sitting there going, no, no, not a running back.
Well, not me, to be honest, Tom. I like the running back idea.
I think we've seen it work recently for teams.
And I think there's merit to – I'm not saying you're saying this, but I personally think there's merit to, in a bad draft, trade down and get Genty somewhere later or in the middle of the first round. But beyond Genty, who I think a lot of fans – probably at least loosely aware of, you know, challenging Barry Sanders' records in college football at Boise State last year. What about the depth of the class? Like, where should they be targeting that? If you're the Patriots and you have a million needs on this team this offseason, where should they be looking?
You want a bell cow kind of back. There's a kid, Amarian Hampton from North Carolina, who fits that bill perfectly. He's about a 225-pound back, full-on, forward lean at all times. He's a faster-looking well, this is going to date me, Antoine Smith kind of back.
Wow.
At all times, forward lean. And he runs hard, and he's probably a second or third round level player. But to me, that's bring back. Gibson's already here. He's on a three-year deal. Draft another back. You got nothing out of Kevin Harris. You got nothing out of Pete Strong. Those guys are gone. You didn't use Jermichael Hasty. Ramondre Stevenson can't hang on to the ball effectively. So stick with Antonio Gibson, who is a good pass-catching back. He only had 23 catches this past year, which is down from what his general stuff was in Washington, his general production. And then go ahead and draft somebody and find a third down back. And I'm wondering how Josh McDaniels – that'll be fascinating, guys. Wanted to see how Josh McDaniels – does he try and repopulate this offensive roster with some of the staples of the Patriots from 10, 12 – 5 years ago, 6 years ago, a slot, a third down back, and a tight end. They've got a tight end, but I would say continue to build a tight end. Running back and tight end are the two cheapest positions in the NFL, bar none. Those are positions you can draft guys who are good, who can make instant impacts the way Bowers did, the way Laporta, the way Hawkinson, the way all of those players did, and there's two excellent ones this year. Plus, you can draft running back and start populating your offense that way. I know the Lions are desperately in need, but I think those are positions they should really focus on.
Well, fullback. You bring the fullback back?
Yeah.
Well, you're one of these
bring
guys?
Him back. I saw Jakob Johnson. I saw Jakob Johnson at the Super Bowl. I was all excited.
Ooh, I was there thinking like more like a Sam Gash type is what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, it's funny because last year in the offseason, the Patriots and Elliott Wolf brought back so many guys. They just kept re-signing Patriots that were free agents, and you just mentioned how maybe there's a possibility of trading Ramondre Stevenson. Could that possibly be a theme where Mike Vrabel comes in and is like, all right, we got a lot of these guys that you re-signed. I don't know if I like all these guys. Like, let's see what we can get. Like, could there be even more of a roster overhaul than, you know, maybe in most years?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think it could be. I think that the Vrabel's mantra has been, my God, I have a lot of work to do. In the past month or so, I just have an incredible amount of work to do. That's basically the vibe that I've gotten from Patriot Place. So that, I think, they're not set anywhere except for a quarterback and cornerback and probably tight end and left guard, although right guard or tackle, whatever you're going to put Mike and Leno. Mm-hmm. But to me, I think there could be overhauls in line. You got plenty of cap space, but I don't think that if a guy is not performing at a level commensurate with his valuation, move the guy down, chop him. I mean, was Devon Godshaw, did he bring to you the level of performance that you expected? Do you have to make a hard decision with Christian Barmore with his health situation? He's a great player. He's unbelievably powerful. He is a staple of your defense if he's healthy and engaged. But do you have to make a hard decision there? I would be more hesitant there than I would be with a Stevenson or a Godshaw, just because, having a semblance of a heart and dealing with somebody's situation, I think would be probably a good idea.
But that's interesting, because it's not just what we're talking about, adding to some of the pieces you have. You're trading a bunch of them away, or at least think the Patriots may explore trading a bunch of them away.
They're just not good enough. I mean, if you're going to throw that money out there, and who are you going to – that's the interesting thing, and that's why the Patriots, I think, re-signed so many players last year too, is who are we going to bring in otherwise?
when you say, for instance, Hunter Henry and Mike Onwenu were re-signed, and people are like, what the hell? They were the best tight end and wide receiver, and offensive lineman on the market. Better than Tyron Smith, better than Jonah Williams. Hunter Henry, it was like, I think Dalton Schultz was the only other tight end available. So, of course, you're going to re-sign them. But then rewarding Barmore, rewarding Duggar, you're looking at those guys as lieutenants and people who are going to be able to carry your message forward. And there was nobody that they really targeted as being better, I guess, at those positions. So if you can improve them, do it.
You know, this offseason is also going to be fun to keep an eye on what the Raiders are doing with Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And so obviously Pete Carroll, Chip Kelly. So there's like a lot of local connections there. As of right now, I know it's just the middle of February, but who's your guess at who they're going to get to be their quarterback next year?
They have so many options. I mean, you got Rodgers, you got most likely Cousins. You could have Sam Darnold. I think that Sam Darnold would be in some ways the most attractive pick. But just watching him in their playoff game revert to full Sam Darnold,
yeah,
I wonder what the upside is. Yes, he can be a productive cog in a machine. He can be a souped-up Mac Jones if you put him in with Kevin O'Connell and Minnesota. But just the meltdown that I witnessed, which was like the Kyler Murray. Like, there are so many quarterbacks in the NFL who are making $55 to $60 million a year. When they are in the crucible of a playoff game, melt. I mean, the Kyler Murray performance a couple of years ago, I think it was against, was it the Rams?
That sounds right.
That he was just brutal. And I think Sam Darnold is guilty of that as well. So part of me would say, I'm about to say Kirk Cousins, but he was a pick machine this year. Anyway, it's, you're picking over guys who are going to have flaws and probably are not your ticket to great success. But if I was the Raiders, I would probably look at a guy who can give me a certain level of play. It has a high floor, put it that way. Mm-hmm. So a Cousins, I don't know if a Darnold is really a high floor guy.
What about Wilson? What about reuniting Wilson with Pete?
Yeah, I guess he's kind of high floorish.
I mean, he had a better year than Cousins. I'm not saying he's great, but he had a better year than Cousins and Rodgers.
Yeah, he did. He was a Pro Bowler, you're right.
Sure
I mean, would you take Rodgers? Would you really scrutinize Rodgers' numbers?
Right.
There's only one guy that Rodgers is going to look at and go, well, he's smarter than me. That would be, at least on football, that would probably be Brady, no?
I don't know with Rodgers.
Yeah, I don't even know if Brady would acknowledge, or if Rodgers would acknowledge that. Yeah,
he might disagree.
Yeah, so to me, I find that interesting, and I find, you know, for the Patriots' purposes, circuiting through the Raiders, I wonder about the Josh McDaniels Davante Adams relationship and whether or not when Davante Adams is released, there is an ability to convince him to come here for the money that they're not going to spend on T. Higgins. 2 years, $65 million. Come on in here. Guaranteed. Come on in, Devontae. Would you do it, son?
Yeah, well, I would be very interested in that.
Yes, I would.
So, okay. Well, maybe they can talk their...
232, fully guaranteed.
Maybe they can talk their way through those issues. Money solves a lot of problems. As we've seen, Keefe has made this point. DeAndre Hopkins and Bill O'Brien mended fences enough a few years ago where at least Hopkins came in for a visit, which we were skeptical of. So maybe that's an option on the table. Good stuff, as always, from Tommy Curran. You can check him out. NBC Sports Boston, his latest, the positional overviews for the Patriots this offseason, quarterbacks, running backs, with more still to come. He joins us every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. We call it a Tommy Tuesday. Tom, thanks so much for the time.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great week.
Thank you.
All right.
You too.
Tom Curran, by the way, good memory. It was Kyler Murray against the Rams.
Yeah.
19 of 34, two picks, 137 yards. Not great.
Not his best game.
Not his best game. No. And Curran's number one. That Devontae stuff there at the end is interesting. I wonder if they can talk through their differences for, I don't know, 2 years and $65 million, call it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
What are you hearing? And second of all, he's trading everyone.
I like that.
Get out of here, Ramondre Stevenson. Yeah. God, Chow, you're off the team. Like, neither of those are you know, massive head scratchers. He brought up Barmore.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I find that to be interesting.
This is Anthony, who is listening in Georgia. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, sir. How you doing?
What's up?
What's up, Lucha? How y'all doing on the podcast?
We're doing pretty good. How y'all doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm at work.
What's up?
Okay, so my question is for everybody on the podcast. Would the Patriots be interested in Aaron Rodgers for the quarterback position?
Would the Patriots be interested in Aaron Rodgers? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Nah.
No.
Hell no.
Is this a plant?
Sounds like you're from Georgia.
But he's saying on the podcast.
What part of Georgia? ATL?
Wiggy would know.
Yeah.
Where are you in Georgia?
Millville.
Okay. I went to UGA, so I know Athens.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went there, and I lived in Fayetteville.
Did you find us on the podcast? I'm like, he's gone.
Sorry.
I was going to ask, because like, did he just like randomly find us on the podcast on like Spotify or Odyssey or something?
Probably.
And that's why he just thinks we're a podcast?
Yes.
He like, said Milledgeville?
Well, no, I don't know. There's really no difference. It's just like the form in which something is delivered. Like that.
No, I know, but it's just funny. I've never heard this show be referred to as a podcast.
Well, it is a...
Right.
It is. There is a podcast.
There's versions of the program, but the show is the radio show.
But that's what it is. It's a show, but that's what a podcast is also.
Sure, yeah. That's true.
I think it's a good sign, because a podcast is like a younger listener.
Right. Well, no, that's kind of why I was curious. Right. I was wondering if he found us in those methods, because if so, I think that's great.
Because he said Milledgeville, so okay, like he might be listening, you know, and I'm like, all right.
I mean, it seems to me like Aaron Rodgers may end up the quarterback for the Steelers.
Yeah, I know. The Pats would know. No need to have the Pats here, because you have Drake May, and Aaron Rodgers I don't think is going anywhere where he's not having a legitimate opportunity to compete for a starting job, or maybe even be penciled in as the starter come week one.
So I would stay away from that. I don't know why you'd want to invite that. No, thank you. Absolutely
he
not.
Really is like a cancer at this point in his life, a locker room cancer.
What is he bringing? What is it besides the ayahuasca? What's he bringing to the table?
Yeah,
no,
but Mike Tomlin, like, he's not going to say anything to Mike Tomlin. Like,
The whole Steelers situation is also interesting, because, like, I love Tomlin. He might be my favorite coach in the league right now.
Uh-huh.
But that team is just stuck in purgatory, because they are never going to bottom out, so they're never going to get something in the draft, and they are just going through these quarterbacks since Roethlisberger that just keep them kind of slightly better than mediocre, and they're never up or down. They're just there in the playoffs, not doing anything.
But I think the question becomes with Aaron Rodgers is, do teams look like, all right, he was a year off of his Achilles, does he have one more kick at the can in him for him to be the Aaron Rodgers that we've seen him to be, that could be a veteran quarterback?
You think he's washed?
Yes.
I think he's
over it. Like, don't you watch him and he looks disinterested?
But then
in
why
football?
Wouldn't he just retire?
Right.
I don't know. I don't think he is over it.
I think he gets very frustrated, or he's one of them people that like kind of checks out when everything around them is bad, like the organization, the coaches.
The mark of a great leader.
Well, we're not discussing whether or not he's a great leader or anything like that. But if the team around them's good, if the coach is good, if he respects the coach and likes the coach, does he then stay focused and stay locked in? And that's why I brought up Vegas to be a good landing spot for him.
Well, if you buy the way the Jets explained it, you can say that he was more interested, or it was more important to him to be able to be on with Pat McAfee than it was to keep his job and play for the Jets, right?
But I still wanted to do that.
Huh?
I don't even think that's true. I think it was more so just a power play by the Jets. They're like, you're going to do what we say, or you're gone. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do what you say. Right. I'm in charge here. And they're like, okay, bye.
Like, I'm doing this on my day off on a Tuesday with Pat McAfee, who's my boy, who pays me some money. This is a way for me, you know, even if it's not really about the money, because I kind of agree with Chime. Like, now you're telling me what I can't do on a Tuesday on my day off. It's, you know, and so they're probably using that as like, well, if you don't want to fall in line, we'll move on.
This is Tim from Hanover. What's up, Tim?
Guys, great morning for you, always.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, I just want to say, Mr. Hill, you are so right. He's a cancer, but you know what? I used to love Aaron Rodgers. I always thought he was a great quarterback. But let me tell you, he's done now. He looks like he's throwing batting practice. And I tell you what, he's throwing ground balls, everything. He's horrible. He can't even get around on his feet no more. Whoever picks him up is very, very stupid, just like they did with Watson. When they got Watson to Cleveland, he was a nightmare, and he wound up being that way, and he never did nothing for him. It just brought him down.
I don't know. Is he more like, and I'm asking this question because is he more, and I know Russell Wilson didn't have a great year, but is he more of a change of scenery guy where you might go, or an organization goes, he still can be that type of quarterback that we're looking for because we don't have a guy.
Right.
He still has that in him. He needs to be in the right, and this is the perfect situation for him to be in. And then you're
That's why if you're going to the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin has been there for 20 years now,
yeah,
like you're not going to go down there and tell him what to do. I don't care who you are.
Or so if you go play for Brady in Vegas, you're probably not telling Brady what to do, right? If you're Aaron Rodgers. So I think that it becomes that question. And I know he's older and, he doesn't look the same. But as an organization think that he, especially an organization that might be kind of like right there, like Pittsburgh is kind of like right there, and they're just missing out on a quarterback.
I mean, it's kind of a waste of a signing, though, because you're not sure what he is, and you're going to have to give him.
But what else is out there?
Okay, but is he going to do a deal? He's going to want. What do you think he's going to want money-wise?
The Jets still have to pay him, don't they? So, he's not going to require a ton.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that was guaranteed money or whatever.
But, I look at it as, would you rather pay Sam Darnold 3 years, $100 million guaranteed,
right,
or would you rather sign Aaron Rodgers to whatever contract he wants?
I'd go with Sam Darnold.
I would, too.
Absolutely.
Right, but I guess the question is Minnesota going to let him go?
Darnold?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think so?
I do. I mean, I think that they're still high on J.J. McCarthy and want to see that through. And probably with the setup that they have there, they feel like maybe they're feeling like they can program any quarterback who they develop themselves, like they did with Sam Darnold and his redemption tour, to at least get them to, the second round of the playoffs, and they'll be good.
See, because if you look at, Sam Darnold's, the top free agent.
It's just going to be so much cheaper to go to J.J. McCarthy, and you have one season that you saw of Sam Darnold.
Right, because the thing you have to ask yourself, and we're talking about with a guy like Aaron Rodgers, is, all right, let's say Sam Darnold is gonna run you somewhere to what a Baker Mayfield contract costs you in the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to have to guarantee this quarterback $100 million. Mm-hmm. Let's say Pittsburgh doesn't want to do that, or maybe Vegas is willing to do that. Now, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're still in the market for a quarterback, but do you want Justin Fields as a free agent? You want Russell Wilson?
You already did that, yeah.
Right, do you want Mac Jones?
I would rather Justin Fields than Aaron Rodgers.
But you already did that.
Yeah, but you could bring him back.
Do you want Mac Jones? Do you want Jimmy? These are the free agents. Jimmy Garoppolo, Marcus Mariota.
Nah.
Excuse me, Jameis Winston, Joe Flacco.
I might want Jameis over Aaron Rodgers.
Jameis might go do media.
That's true, too. He looked great on Super Bowl Media Week.
So all I'm saying, Greg, is that I think an organization is going to look and they're going to go, all right, if we hit on Rodgers for 1 year, he's better than any of these potential free agents that are available.
Yeah.
And does he have a little bit of gas left in the tank?
It'll be interesting. It'll be very interesting.